I once read about a long-winded preacher that was noted for just about preaching from Genesis to Revelation every time he'd get up. One time he'd about covered the whole Bible, and he came to the book of Isaiah, and I said, "Brother, now we come to the book of Isaiah, what are we going to do with him?" One old brother said, "He can have my seat, I'm leaving." Well, I hope I'm not going to preach that kind of a sermon tonight. I'm going to preach on faithfulness, and I hope you'll be faithful to listen. 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, if you'd like to turn there, and the first two verses. 1 Corinthians 4 and verses 1 and 2. I'd like to announce that we have visitation on Tuesday evening and Thursday evening, 6:30. We'd like for you to join in. We'd like for you to be faithful. We'd like for you to exercise love in your home, in the church, on the job. We need that. We need love and faithfulness. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. A steward is one who is entrusted with that which belongs to another. We are entrusted with life. We are entrusted with talent, with money, with energy, opportunities. And as stewards, we are called upon to be faithful. Proverbs 28:20 says, "A faithful man shall abound with blessings." You recall the man whom the Lord commended for being faithful, and he said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many." The work of our Lord goes forward on wings of faithfulness. Faithfulness is required. You cannot have a home. You cannot have a church. You cannot have a nation without faithfulness. When I am not faithful and when you're not faithful, we not only hurt ourselves, but we hurt others. When you are just deliberately absent from church, you're hurting the church. I came across this article recently that I thought was a good illustration of a church. It says, "Have you ever wondered how the Canadian geese, or have you ever wondered why the Canadian geese fly in a V formation?" For years, specialists in aerodynamics wondered the same thing. Two engineers calibrated in a wind tunnel what happens in such a V formation. Each goose, in flapping his wings, creates an upward lift for the goose that follows. When all the geese do their part in the V formation, the whole flock has a 71% greater flying range than if each bird flew alone. Each then depends upon the other to get to its destination. Something else: when a goose begins to lag behind, the others will honk him into place. Now let's learn from God's animal creation. The church needs to fly in a V formation, honking one another into steadfastness. And it must be at least 71% easier to live the faithful Christian life flying with a flock as opposed to going it alone. Brethren, I believe in a church, and I believe we need each other. We are called the body of Christ, and we need to be faithful, not only for ourselves, but for others. Unfaithfulness is negative. It destroys. It's the one thing we need. Faithfulness is the one thing we need. Unfaithfulness destroys. But faithfulness builds up. It edifies. It's the one thing we need in the church. It's the one thing we need on the mission field. And I was talking to Missionary White in Australia recently, and he said, you know, when you're better than 10,000 miles away from your home church, you can be unfaithful if you want to, and no one know anything about it back here. How many people are going to Australia to find out whether a missionary is doing his job or not? And yet, it's required of us that we be found faithful. Now, not all are highly talented, but all can be faithful. Not all are brilliant, but all can be faithful. Not all have much money, but everybody can be faithful. This is one thing that I can do, and this is one thing you can do. This isn't a matter of how many talents, or how much money, or how much energy, or how much this, how much that. It's a matter of being faithful with what you are and what you have. God will bless you for it, and God will bless a church that is characterized by faithfulness. And I'd say to you young people, it's good to begin to be faithful when you're young. In the springtime of life, be faithful and dependable, and just make it a part of your life's goal and your life's plan. Set your pattern now and say, I'm going to be a faithful person. And then, of course, there comes the years of manhood, womanhood, when we get busy trying to make a name, maybe trying to make a little money, trying to get the necessities of life. And it's a pretty easy thing, brethren, to get taken up with the cares of this world and be unfaithful to Jesus Christ. But it's not right. And then, of course, there comes the later years, sometimes called the sunset years or the golden years. I sometimes think that maybe a better term for the last years on earth is harvest years. You know, there are many of God's people that come down to the end with a great deal of sorrow and bitterness because they have not been faithful to God. What is faithfulness? Well, I've written out this simple definition. Faithfulness is the act of being and doing what God desires of you, His child. That's simple, but I believe that's exactly what it is. I think God has a plan for my life. I think God has a plan for your life. I think I can work on God's second best or God's third best or God's fourth best. But I think He's got a best for me, and I ought to try to find that. I believe if I want to find it, I can find it and will find it. And it calls for faithfulness. If you accept God's plan for your life, it'll be a life of faithfulness. You'll be faithful. You know, faithfulness is a heavenly characteristic. God is presented over and over again in the Scriptures as being faithful. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. God's faithful. Again in 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful. Hebrews 11:23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that has promised. God's faithful, and he expects his children to likewise be faithful. It is said of our Savior, Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. All around us we see change. Change everywhere. Men change. Nations change, notions change, but listen to what God says in Malachi 3:6. I am the Lord, I change not. I like that. I like to put my faith in a God that's unchanging. He may change his methods of dealing with people, but he himself is unchanging. He's faithful. We can depend upon him. Whatever he tells us he will do, he will do. Let's think for a moment of the description of faithfulness, or perhaps it would be better put if I said, let's look at some examples of faithfulness. And of course, the best example of faithfulness is the life of our Savior on this earth. When he came down from heaven, he said, I came down not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And so he was true to God's eternal purpose. He never wavered. He was faithful. He was faithful when they threatened his life. You know, on one occasion, they tried to push him over a bluff, and he just walked out through the midst of them. When they hated him and despised him, he was still faithful. And on the way to the cross, he was faithful. And on the cross, he was faithful. And after his resurrection, he's faithful, and he's faithful now to intercede for us day and night. So if we're going to be followers of Jesus Christ, and we're going to call ourselves Christians, then let's be faithful. Maybe your life has been a little unsteady at times. Unfaithful. Maybe fluctuating. And sometimes I think that can be caused by our looking at others around us not quite so faithful as we are. You know, you can get a higher opinion of yourself than you ought to have by simply looking at people that aren't doing as much as you. But I think when we do that, we're looking at the wrong person. Hebrews 12:2 said, looking unto Jesus. Now, that's the one you look at. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. When we look to him, it has a tendency to cause us to be faithful. then I think in addition to that, we need to keep in mind that the flesh is weak. And it seems that people are always looking not for good examples, but bad examples. You ever notice that? The bad examples seem to show up in brighter color than the good examples. And a lot of people are looking for that. But I'm glad to tell you that there are some examples recorded in the Word of God of men who lived in the flesh, like you and I live in the flesh, who were faithful, and God calls them faithful people. I'll give you an example. Abraham was a man of faith. Now, that doesn't mean he was perfect. That doesn't mean that everything he did was right. But God classed him as a faithful man, a man of faith. You recall that he waited 25 years for a son. And then one day, God said to him, as a matter of testing, said, take your son Isaac, one you love, one who meant more than life itself to Abraham, said, take him up to a mountain, Mount Moriah, and offer him there as a sacrifice. Now, I've heard preachers talk about how Abraham must have tossed in his bed all night that night. I don't find any indication in the scriptures that there was any struggle like that. Maybe there was, but I just say the Bible's silent on it if there was. I do read that the next morning that he saddled some donkeys and he and Isaac and two servants started toward the mountain. And you see them as they make their way up the mountain, and Isaac turns to his father and speaks and says, I see we have wood and fire for the sacrifice, but where is the lamb? And Abraham was a man of faith, and he said words of faith. He said, my son, God will provide. I think at that time he didn't know. He just had faith. And when they got to the designated spot and an altar was built and the wood was placed on it and Isaac was bound and placed on it and Abraham stood with an instrument of death in his hand and the angels of heaven stayed his hand, he was still acting in faith because he told his servants that you stay with the donkeys, I'm the lad to go yonder and worship and come again. And elsewhere in the scriptures we're told that Abraham believed if need be, God could raise his son and would raise his son from the dead. And so he told his servants, said, we're going to worship and come back. Man of faith. And he earned the title, a friend of God. He is called the friend of God. You know, isn't that quite a compliment to be labeled as a friend of God? Well, I think of Joseph. Joseph was sold by his brothers, ill-treated down in Egypt, placed in prison, and a wicked woman tried to entice him. But here's a man that's faithful. And his answer to her enticement was, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Joseph was faithful. I think of Daniel. As a young man, he purposed in his heart, he said, I'm not going to defile myself with the king's meat. Not going to drink wine. And he was away from home. You'd be surprised how good some people are at home and how bad they are away from home. Test of a man's character is what he'll do when he's away from home. When he thinks no one knows where he is or what he's doing. And what he does then is a pretty good test of his character. Daniel stood the test. He was promoted. And when he got to be a government official, he was faithful in what we call a secular job. I want to read it to you from Daniel, the 6th chapter and verse 4. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Now, he was working for the king. He was next to the king. And evidently faithful and efficient in his work. And his enemy said, we sure can't find anything wrong with his work. He's faithful in that. We're going to have to find something that has to do with his religion. They knew that he was a man of prayer. So they went to the king and said, King, we want you to make a law. If anyone offers any petition now in the next 30 days to anyone, any god, any person except to you, let him be cast into the den of lions. And they'd already buttered him up a little bit, flattered him, and so he passed the law. And Daniel stood in the time of crisis. When he found out about it, he just went ahead and prayed as usual, didn't he? He was faithful. He was faithful in a time of crisis. But you know, a lot of folk have said it wouldn't matter now if we skip a few times in prayer. I'll get back to it. Lord, you know how I feel now. I feel like praying, but right now I can't. Well, now if I'm dead, I can't do as much for you as I can if I go ahead and live. You know that, Lord. No, he didn't say he just went ahead and prayed as usual. And they cast him into the den of lions, and God took care of that. God sent some angels there and gave those lions lockjaw. And it doesn't take much imagination just to see old Daniel just using one of those shaggy manes as a pillow and just sleeping soundly that night with his faith in God. He was faithful. And if you'll read the book of Daniel, you'll find that there's some, about three places, I believe, where Daniel is held up as the beloved, greatly loved of God. Folk, there's not anything that pleases God more than faith and faithfulness. And they go together. Faith and faithfulness. You know, the Apostle Paul was faithful. When he met the Lord on the road to Damascus, he's changed man. If he wasn't saved there, I don't know where he's saved. I know that's where he began to act like a saved man. And I know that at that time there was born in him an allegiance to Jesus Christ that he never did break. He was faithful. From there on, he was faithful. And you remember one time that Paul and Barnabas were having a conversation, and Paul suggested to Barnabas, said, say, I got an idea. Why don't we go back to all the places where we preach the gospel and visit the brethren? And Barnabas added and said, and let's take John Mark along with us. Paul said, no, I don't want that young man. You remember how he left us at Pamphylia? He wasn't faithful. I don't want him along. And the contention was so great between Paul and Barnabas that they separated. Those two preachers couldn't get along on that. Paul said, in substance, you read it, it's there clear and plain. I don't like unfaithfulness. You remember what he said about Demas? He said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Now, evidently, John Mark redeemed himself, because later on, I was just reading this afternoon in 2 Timothy 4:11, Paul tells Timothy, said, bring Mark with me. He said, he's faithful to me in the ministry. I'd like to use him. Evidently, the young fellow had become faithful. Paul said, I want a faithful man. We need to be faithful in the small things. If we're faithful in small things, we'll be faithful in big things. Faithful in obscure places and in little things. You know, I believe in the main, the work of God is really carried on by the unnoticed yet faithful children of God. I believe there's going to be some Judgment Day surprises for a lot of preachers when they find out that people that are not known but just a little handful of people are going to get a bigger reward than they got because they're more faithful. Who said a man's going to get a bigger reward simply because he's called to preach? He's not going to get a reward just being called to preach. He's going to get a reward if he faithfully does his job. And you get a reward if you faithfully do what God called you to do. So God's just calling you to be faithful right where you are. And sometimes it's dangerous. Sometimes you run into danger if you're really faithful to the Lord. It's not that easy, simple thing that it sometimes seems to be. If you're really faithful to the Lord, you run into difficulty. You run into conflict. But God wants us to be faithful in our living. Don't waste our time. Don't waste our energy. Be faithful in witnessing. Be faithful for the sake of others. Faithfulness is very desirable. I think you and I ought to desire the best gifts that God has for us. The best things that he has now and in the ages to come. And I think we ought to covet the best words that Jesus can speak to us. And I don't know of anything better he could say to me than you. And finally we meet at the judgment seat of Christ. He says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things to make you rule over many." I'd like the commendation of my Savior. I know I'm supposed to be faithful. And I think you and I need to study the Bible to find out what faithfulness is and judge our lives, not in the light of the opinion of others, but judge our lives unmercifully in the light of what God's Word says and see whether or not we're being faithful. And do what God tells us to do. We ought to plan our lives for faithfulness. We ought to make the resolution. I shall be faithful to my Savior in all things, large and small. I'm going to be faithful in the use of my money, in the use of my time, in the use of my talents. And you young people ought to say, "I'm going to be faithful while I'm young. I'm going to be faithful in middle age. And I'm going to be faithful when I get old." You know, a lot of people, when they begin to get up in years, they say, "Well, I served my time. I'm done." People ask me, say, "When are you going to retire?" And I said, "When I wear my old tires out, I think I still got some tread left. So I'm not quitting." I've had to rearrange my priorities a little bit, but I intend to keep going. I remember reading about a man who ran a big hardware store. Asked a young fellow to work for him, and he gave this boy a big container full of nails and screws and hinges and just old tools and bits of iron and things like that, and said, "Take them up in the attic and pick them out and arrange them orderly. I mean, place the hinges one place and the nails one place and arrange them." Well, the boy went up in the attic to do that, and it was hot, dusty, undesirable place, and he was tempted to just take him a nap, but he kept working at it. Worked at it 3 days, and finally he came back down. He told the head clerk, he said, I think I've got them all arranged orderly. Head clerk went up there and looked and said, "Yep, you sure have." Said, "You're hired." Said, that's our test box. Sometimes you wonder if God's given you a test box, don't you? He does that sometimes. See whether or not we're really faithful. Faithfulness is commanded to all people. Now, don't get your ecclesiastical shovel out and put it over on the other fellow. I'm talking to you, not the one sitting next to you, but to you. When it comes to faithfulness, there are no exemptions granted. No exceptions. Young or old, rich or poor. Many talents, few talents. That's not it. We're all expected to be faithful. Faithful. You obey Christ, or you're going to lose the opportunities you have. You obey Christ, or you'll lose the God-given talents you have. And I mean that. And I say this for Brother Baker's benefit. I believe some people could have been good singers if they had given themselves to the gift that God handed to them. If you can sing, you ought to sing for the glory of God. If you can teach, you ought to teach for the glory of God. If you can preach, you ought to preach for the glory of God. God's given you something to do. Bible says he's given every man his work to do, and he expects you to do it and do it faithfully. And when that's done, you know, a church is a marvelous place. Had you ever stopped to think that faithfulness is the one thing that brings reward? That's the one thing that brings reward. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things to make you rule over many. If God can trust us now, if he can count on us now, if he can say, "Look, I can give that person a job and he or she'll do it." If God can count on you now, he'll call on you later in the millennial reign of Christ. I believe that. But if he can't depend on you now, don't you expect any part in God's government during the millennium. You just won't have it. Now, them are my sentiments. I believe that's in line with the Word of God. When I think of the grace of God, it makes me want to be faithful. When I look back and think of how God saved me over 50 years ago, and when he saved me, he saved me. He gave me eternal life. And I've never been the same person since. My whole life was changed. My destiny was changed. And God's been with me every step of the way. I've been aware of that. I've never felt one day that God was far off, that he was not near. He's been with me. And he's with me now. And when I think of the future, it makes me want to be faithful. Because I know out in the future there is victory. Victory. I know that God's going to give me a body that'll never be subject to pain or disease or death or fatigue or anything like that. And one day he's finally going to get me to a land where there won't be anything wrong. Won't have any wars. Won't have any diseases. Nothing ever go wrong. And so when I think of the future, it makes me want to be faithful now. You know, it's a serious thing not to be faithful. You'll excuse this personal reference to my son, but I was just thinking about it again this afternoon. And I told a friend not long ago about it. David, my younger son, runs an airport in Alexander City, Alabama. And he said one day he noticed that the beacon light had gone out. And he said to himself, "I'm going downtown. Go down to City Hall right now and tell them I don't want a night to go by when that beacon light's not shining." So he did. He went down to the powers that be and said, I want that light fixed before nightfall. I don't know what the problem was, but they did get right on it. And that very night, my son was living at that time right on the edge near the airport. And he said along about 12 o'clock, big burly fellow knocked on the door and said, I hate to wake you at this time of the night, but I'm in desperate need of some gasoline, my plane. And then he said this to David. He said, I'm living right now because of two things in this order. God and this beacon light out here. He said, it's only been a few minutes ago that I was running out of gas and already given up to die. I was in Woodland, and I didn't see how in the world I'd get my plane down and live. So I thought, well, I'm going to die. And then he said, I saw that beacon light, and I came in. And he said, I just about came in on the fumes. My tank, the tank of that plane's empty. And David said, what would have happened if I hadn't got that beacon light fixed? You know, when we're not faithful, we don't let our light shine, we may cause someone to be wrecked eternally. We can't afford not to be faithful. Now, whatever you need to do tonight to make you faithful, you do it. Maybe you need to join the church by letter, promise of a letter. And of course, if you're unsaved, no need to talk to you about being faithful to God, because first thing you need to do is to trust God to save your soul. See, it's in the soul-saving business, and he'll forgive you and save you if you just let him. Just confess you're a sinner and you're lost, and you know Christ died for your sins, and trust him as your Savior, and let it be known. Do it tonight.